I'm going to read a few verses of the chapter. Sorry, my voice just disappeared on me. Numbers 32:1. Now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of cattle. And when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that, behold, the place was a place for cattle. The children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spake unto Moses and to Eleazar the priest, and unto the princes of the congregation, saying, Ataroth and Dibon and Jazer and Nimrah and Heshbon and Eleah, Shaban and Nebo and Beon, even the country which the Lord smote before the congregation of Israel, is a land for cattle, and thy servants have cattle. Wherefore say they, if we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for a possession, and bring us not over Jordan. And Moses said unto the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war, and shall you sit here? Wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord hath given them? Thus did your fathers when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to see the land. And when they went up into the valley of Eshcol and saw the land, they discouraged the heart of the children of Israel that they should not go into the land which the Lord had given them. And the Lord's anger was kindled at the same time he swore, saying, surely none of the men that came out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord. And the Lord's anger was kindled against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years, until all the generation that had done evil in the sight of the Lord was consumed. And he said, behold, you are risen up in your father's stead, an increase of sinful men. Verse 15, for if you turn away from after him, he will yet again leave them in the wilderness, and ye shall destroy all this people. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Excuse me. Lord, we thank you for your word. And I ask you for freedom and ease to preach this day. And may the word of God come unto us with a blessing. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You got to understand Moses' position. When he left Egypt, he could have been in 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks, something like that. He could have gone directly to the promised land and went into it and started fighting it. He sent the spies, men from every tribe, he sent them in to go throughout the land. There were 12 of them. And so when they came back, 10 of the guys that went over said, oh, we can't take it. They've got giants in the land and all, they had all sorts of problems. No matter what God said, they would not do anything but discourage the people of God. Well, it made God mad. And God left them in the wilderness for 40 years until every one of that generation was dead, including Moses. Moses didn't go in the promised land. He saw it. Now, I don't know about you. I'm not one to like waiting on things. It bothers me that the doctor tells me to have an appointment at 10 and he gets to me at 10:30, maybe. I ought to go say I could come in at 10:30 myself. You know, we're that way. I don't know about you, but I think I'm that way, and I know an awful lot of people are like that.
Right, amen.
How would you like 40 years? 40 years. Eating manna. I don't like some things to eat. How about you? Well, a lot of people got tired of manna.
Yeah.
I mean, it's heavenly food. It is absolutely a marvelous miracle. And he had to bring water out of a rock. And Moses got mad and struck the rock, which broke the type. And so therefore God judged Moses too. How would you like to have had Moses' job?
No.
Ooh, you talk about a bad job. Moses had a bad job. He not only had all the children of Israel, he had all those other people that came out with him. A mixed multitude, they said, when they come out of Egypt. And he's got to put up with them 40 years till all of them die. Now that's a painful thing. I believe Moses really deserves some credit for what he did and how he did it.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Now, these guys were cattlemen. May I say they were Texans, good Texans.
Cowboys.
All right, I see you, Randy.
I see you, I'm a cowboy.
He had to put up with them for 40 years. Now, they come up there and they said, hey, we like this land. And they had to conquer where they were. And they had conquered this land where they were. And they said, hey, we're cattlemen. This is cattle country. Why, why don't we just take our land right here? We won't go into the land across the Jordan and have that inheritance with that God had promised them. We like this land better right here.
Amen.
And you know something? Made Moses mad. He got after him. And he said, shall you discourage the people again? Now they took 12 spies. Now, you know the stories, probably. The 12 spies went through the land. They saw these were giants. Some of these guys are big guys. You know, Goliath was about as high as the ceiling. That's how big he was. He was almost 10 foot tall. Wow. Well, they had giants in the land, and they had a lot of other things. Yeah, it's a good land, flows with milk and honey, but oh, we don't think we can do it. They wouldn't trust God, and everybody but Caleb and Joshua, all of the 10 tribes, all the 12 tribes, those 10 of those spies discouraged the people and they didn't go into the land. Well, that's what he was talking about. He said, you coming up and you're acting just like them now. You're going to discourage the people too. You're going to take your inheritance right now where we've already conquered and you lack the land, and then you're not going to go over here and get your inheritance with these other people. You'll be discouraging them and God will drop y'all in the desert just like he did the other ones. Well, they got together and they come up to Moses and they tell him, look, we will build cities here. We will build our ranches and our farms. We will protect our family, and then we will go before you as an army until all the children of Israel get their inheritance.
Yep.
Well, that's okay. God said that was a fine deal. Moses said it was a fine deal. And but he was warning them. If you look at verse 23, he said, but if you will not do so, behold, you sinned against the Lord. And be sure your sin will find you out. That's a tremendous statement.
Amen. Amen.
Are you sure? Are you sure you can get away with sin?
No.
Are you sure that God will stop you in your sin?
Yes. Amen.
I tell you what. That's a tremendous statement, verse 23. And you know, it's something that most of us as sinners really don't live by. We think we're getting away with something. With adultery, with stealing, with doing a lot of different things that shouldn't be done. And you think you're going to get away with your sin. And yet, he said, ye have sinned. If you do not do these things, you have sinned against the Lord. And be sure your sin will find you out. Now, it would save a lot of trouble for an awful lot of people if we believed that. But most of the world doesn't believe that. I don't know how many stories in 66 years of being a pastor I've heard where people thought they were getting away with sin. Adultery, fornication, stealing. Stealing things from your boss at work. Doing all sorts of underhanded things. And you know what? Prisons are full of prisoners that thought they could get away with it. Here's a statement, and this is coming from the man who gave you the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments come from Moses, from God, through Moses. This is a man that wrote the first five books of the Bible. That is a tremendous accomplishment. And then he lived with these people and guided them and kept them going for 40 years because of their sin. Wow. And he makes a statement here that's just as sure as the Ten Commandments. If you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord. Have you ever thought about that when you sin against the Lord? Even when you're committing adultery, you're not just sinning with this other person. You're sinning against the Lord.
Yes.
That when you steal, you're not just stealing from that person, but you're ignoring the commandments of God. When you do all of these different things that people do and they think they're going to get away with it, we've got an awful lot of people in the courts. The courts are crowded on people who believe they could get by with something. I believe we've got something here that ought to go along with the Ten Commandments. Ought to be something you've got to memorize, like the 23rd Psalm or the 14th Psalm or the 19th Psalm, some of the beautiful passages of Scripture. You've sinned against the Lord. When you sin, it's not just you're sinning against the person that you are committing your sin with. You're sinning against the commandments of God. You know what word is. You know what's wrong. You know the guilty feeling that you have when you're doing something. Your conscience is still bearing witness to you that you're not living the way you ought to live. And there's got to be a little bell going off somewhere in your consciousness that says, you might have to pay for this.
Amen.
That's what it says. If you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Now, I think one of the problems that we have is we're not sure. But you know, I am. I am sure that my sin, even if it's me in anger to you, to do you wrong, I'm not just sinning against you. I'm sinning against what I know of the character of God. What I know of the Word of God. What I know that God wants me to do or doesn't want me to do. So I'm sinning against the Lord.
Amen.
And I guess all sin is against the Lord.
Amen.
Now, here's your problem. Two little words. Be sure. Be sure. Are you sure? You know what? I'm sure that this is true. I've had enough experience in my life. I've committed enough sins. And I've paid for enough sins. As all of you have. All of us.
Amen.
All have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Amen.
You know something? I'm sure.
Yes.
Would it help you if you got sure about this verse?
Yes.
I think it would.
Yes.
I really, one time, I was in evangelism. I was a young preacher and I was in evangelism. And I come back in home from a revival meeting and I was asked to hold a revival here in a church on the south side of San Antonio. And we had a tremendous revival.
Yes.
It was back in the days when we didn't have air conditioning and had all these windows down the sides. I probably kept about 100 people inside the auditorium, something like that, 80 or 100. But he had all those windows.
Yes.
We had crowds like you wouldn't believe. They were sitting down the aisles. They were at the windows at each of the corner of the building. And they were just coming. Wonderful revival. Every night that the preacher got up to introduce me, he said, now this offering that we're taking will all go to the evangelist. Every cent will go to the evangelist. He said that at every meeting went through now. Well, we got at the end of the meeting and he gave me a check for $100. I didn't even question it. I didn't know how much money come in. I had no way to think about it. The next Sunday, my dad invited me over for lunch with my family. And he said, "Lindell, how much did you get in your offering?" I said, "They gave me $100, Dad." He said, "I gave you more than $100. Boy, his jaw dropped down. I dropped down. And then I got mad. And I was younger, stronger, dumber. But I made up an appointment to meet with that pastor. And I asked him. I said, "You lied every night to your congregation. What happened?" "Well, it was just too much money for you. We thought the church needed it more." I said, "Yeah, but you know what you did? You just hurt one of the sweetest Christians I've ever known." My daddy invited me over, and when I told him about my offering, he said, "I gave you a lot more than that, Lindell." And he was trying to give it to me through the offering and whatever, and not being supporting his son, such a thing. I wanted to hit him. I wanted to beat the snot out of him. Oh, yeah, I'm a pastor, you know, yeah. I wanted to mash his face. I grew up fighting. You went to Burbank, you almost had to fight your way to school and back. But I didn't. You see, there's a verse in Romans that says, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." Now, when I got saved, I quit smoking, drinking, cussing, and gambling, and fighting. And a mechanic was a good friend of mine. He told me, he said, "Those guys out there are making $50 a day." I said, "Well, I'm not going to call you a liar, but the fellow that told you that was," and he hit me. Boom, right in the jaw. I just got saved the day before. The day before, that was Monday, I don't say. I just got saved, and I knew Jesus. I didn't know a whole lot, but I knew Jesus said, "Turn the other cheek." I said, "You get one more free swing." And I backed him around the room all the way, and finally a lieutenant came in and stopped us. That was my last fight. Praise the Lord. I wanted to smash that man's face. I knew I could do it. I could beat the snot out of him. What if I killed him?
You're pretty mean.
I am pretty mean. Ask my boys. You know what I told him? I said, "You know what I'm going to do? I'm not going to touch you at all. I really want to. But I'm not going to touch you. I'm going to put you in the hands of the Lord. And right now, Lord, I'm saying it's in your hands. You said vengeance was yours. You take it any way you want to take it." Well, to make a long story short, in 6 months' time, that man was accused of fondling a woman at the altar. I don't know how you'd get room to fondle a woman at the altar, but that's what they accused him of at any rate. They fired him. The church disappeared, and it's not in existence. My dad never gave me an offering through any church again. In fact, when I went to the mission field, he said, "Let me make the payments on that new pickup." I said, "Yes, sir." "Thank you." I look like a real prosperous missionary. I had a brand new Ford pickup. I was not prosperous. I was about as broke as Billy was when he was down there and some of them others. And bless your heart, some of these missionaries have suffered an awful lot and they don't get a lot of money. And they live under certain circumstances. Man, they need help. You need to pray for them. But I had a brand new pickup and my dad was making the payments as his offering to me. Be sure your sin will find you out. That church, those deacons and that pastor that come, I never did find out what the offering was. Never know how much it was. But they decided to keep it, and it was an agreement between them. And gave me $100. Well, I was a school teacher. I wasn't starving. You know something? You don't mess with God that way.
Right.
You talk about foolish. You talk about foolish. I see sometimes when I'm going driving in the afternoon, and I'll see these ice houses and beer places, and they're all sitting out there, and you got these workers, and they're all out there drinking up what they worked for today. Well, they got a wife and kids sitting back home, not well taken care of as they ought to be. Who are they sinning against? Well, they're sinning against their wife and kids as far as I'm concerned. And they're sinning against God. God Almighty takes into account sin. You better learn what sin is and what things can happen to you if you get into sin. One of our biggest problems is fornication. It's young mothers that have nobody to take care of them and their children. It's pitiful. It really is. And it's a major problem for our country, and I imagine for around the world. But the first thing you did was you didn't take God into account, and you decided, I want this fun, I want this joy, this is my pleasure. Nobody knows. Nobody will find out. Yeah, they will. It would just be amazing how many people have found out I was sinning against God when I did thought I was sinning against somebody else. Thought I was getting by with something. I had a man telling me one time, telling me a story. He's telling me how this great bit of adultery that he was doing with this woman that was married, and he was in the bed with her when the husband drove into the driveway. He grabbed up his clothes, went out the back door, jumped the fence, and ran through the... And he was telling me it was a great victory. He got away with it, he thought. If you think that way, you're thinking wrong. The chances of you having a venereal disease, being a married person that doesn't have intercourse with anyone else, you're pretty safe with a husband and a wife that do not have sex outside marriage. But when you have sex outside of marriage with one person, you have a sex with every person he or she has had sex with down through her life. And you have every chance of catching a venereal disease. And let me tell you what. The things that people take to try to keep from making a woman pregnant, they don't always work. Look at all of the women, wives, that are using killing their child rather than raise another child. I know it's ugly what I'm talking about, but you need to think about it. You're not getting away with anything. If I could convince you today that it's not smart to get yourself into sin, no matter how much pleasure it looks like, no matter what the opportunity is that you think that you have, whether it's stealing from the boss at work, whether it's telling lies on somebody, or whether it's fornication or whatever. Why don't you take a little bit of advice from Moses and be sure your sin will find you out? Amen, Brother Lindell. Praise the Lord. Look with me in the 1 Corinthians 6:9. I want you to turn with me if you can. 1 Corinthians 6:9. And I'm going to read 3 verses. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. Well, hey, I got a whole group of them sitting right in front of me. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I don't see any righteous person in front of me. I see a bunch of sinners. They committed sin. But look at verse 11.
Thank you, Lord.
And such were some of you.
Amen.
Yeah, we confess it, don't we?
Yes.
Amen.
Such were some of you. But you're washed.
Amen.
Hey, did you read that? You're washed.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
You are sanctified.
Amen.
That's made a saint.
Yes.
You are a saint. You don't need to pray no saints from the Catholic Church because you are a saint.
Amen.
You're justified. You're declared sin free. You're declared not guilty.
Amen.
In the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God.
Amen, amen, amen.
Is that good news?
Amen.
That's the best news I ever saw, because all have sinned. That means every one of you. The sweetest grandmother in the room.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
And the little selfish boy that wants to steal the candy from his sister.
Yeah.
We got a bunch of sinners in here, don't we?
Amen.
But you're washed. You're sanctified.
Amen.
You're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Wow. Wow. Oh, boy. In Psalm 51, verse 4, David makes us, he's confessing his sin to God. It's a tremendous psalm. He had a tremendous understanding of the mercy of God. But he says in verse 4, talking to God, against thee, thee only have I sinned.
Amen.
Now, he's not trying to get away with admitting sin to against Bathsheba and Uriah. But what he's trying to do is put God on the right ground. In Psalm 38:18, David said, I will declare mine iniquity. I will be sorry for my sin. And he says here, against thee, thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. He's not talking about his mother being sinful. He's talking about being sinful himself in his own self the minute he was born. And he wants to put God on the right footing. You need to put God on the right footing.
Yes.
In your anger or in your lust or in your desire, you're going against God. You're not just going against those human people that you're mad at or that you're trying to do something to or trying to get ahead of them. You're going against God.
Yes.
And that's for everybody. Every human being out there is going to be judged by God Almighty.
Amen.
David is saying, I'm going to make it simple for you, Lord. I sinned against you. And boy, did he ever. He was a man probably 50 years old, probably had 12 to 20 wives at the time. He looks upon another man's wife, lusts after her. She's a beautiful woman. He goes and takes her, brings her to the palace. He commits adultery with her. And then he does it several times. He's got 12 to 20 wives while he's messing with somebody else's wife. This is a man of God. Really is one that he understands God better than a whole lot of writers even in the Bible. You read the Psalms, and in some of them, wow. He sees God. He's got almost the clarity of the New Testament. Even what he said here in this chapter. And he goes and commits sin like this. And look, it didn't stop there. Right. Uriah comes to him. He sends him back to the battle. And in Uriah's hand, he has the note written by the king for Joab to put him in the battle and withdraw from him. Kill him. He trusted Uriah enough to put the message in his own hand. He had a mighty soldier there. And a mighty soldier went out and was killed by David trying to stop his sin from progressing. See, David was an absolute king. He didn't have a Congress. He didn't have anybody to criticize him except the Bible. He had the Word of God, the books of Moses. And he knew what he was doing was wrong. He was a spiritual man. Oh yeah, you can be spiritual and still sin in your body, can't you?
Amen.
You can still be spiritual and then lust after things you shouldn't have.
Yes.
You can be spiritual and yet you can exalt yourself and be a great big positive thinker and thinking you're never going to get caught and you're never going to pay. Well, according to what this scripture says here, be sure. You know what faith is? Being sure. You got faith in God? I got faith in a God that hates sin. And he hates what sin does. You realize what sin does? How much hurt is done by sin? How much damage is done by sin? And you're all sinners. And I don't think there's a single one of you that has it easy. I think every one of us have temptations, various different temptations, but against the will of God. And we know the will of God. We got a Bible that tells us something. If you read it at all, you know that God hates sin, and because sin is a damage to other people. Sin always causes harm.
Amen.
We ought to hate sin as much as God, but we don't.
Yes,
such for some of you.
Yeah.
But you're washed. Are you washed?
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
I don't remember. I think it was probably one of my heart attacks when I was in a hospital and they wouldn't allow me to get into a bathtub or whatever. And one lady came in with warm cloths. If you're a nurse, you might know what I'm talking about. That was the best bath I ever got. I'd take that every day. It was comfortable, it was warm, and I was feeling miserable, but oh, that was a help.
Yeah.
I like being washed.
Amen.
You like being dirty?
No.
I like being clean.
Amen.
I'm not as careful as some of you. I eat dirt sometimes. But, wow, you're washed. I've been washed from my sins.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Sanctified.
Amen.
I am a saint. You don't need to pray to me. But I am a saint.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Hey, are you saved?
Amen.
You're a saint. They don't have your name written up anywhere. Nobody's celebrating on your day. But you're a saint.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
You've been sanctified. Wow. Made holy.
Praise you, Lord.
Amen.
Justified?
Yes.
That means they took you to court and declared you not guilty.
Wow. Thank you, Lord.
That's the court of heaven.
Amen.
That's the real court that counts. That's why you can actually walk into the presence of God Almighty as His son or His daughter. Wow.
Thank you, Lord.
That's a blessing for me.
Amen.
I can say, Lord. Now, some of you had bad fathers, and I'm sorry for you. I had a good father, so I have a good feeling of what I think of father. But I've got God for a father. He's my father. I've got that closeness with him. And therefore I have that familiarity with him. Yes, I know he's an almighty God. He's so much bigger than I can imagine. These new telescopes they're sending out.
Yeah.
You understand that a light year is how far light goes in one of our 365 day years. They're talking about 400 million light years is what they envision. That's an awful big universe. They said, did you find the end? No, we just found a lot more. How big is God? I don't know how big he is, but he's way too big for my imagination.
Amen.
And he loved me.
Yes, he
loved me. He died for me.
Thank you, Lord.
He paid my debt. He's going to come back for me.
Amen.
He promised me he's going to give me a body just like his.
Amen.
This one's about to wear out. I'd like a new one. Man, praise God. You're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. In Psalm 51, David says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. He didn't ask for God's justice. He asked for God's loving kindness and tender mercies. Then he said, wash me and cleanse me. My sin is ever before me. David never got away from his sin. He carried it to his death. He saw the results of it even in his own family. He suffered much. But he asked for God some things. He said in verse 16, thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. You remember when Jesus was talking to the woman by the well?
Yes.
And she was talking about how you, being a Jew, asked drink of me, a Samaritan, and I know when Messiah cometh. He said, I am he.
Amen.
I am he.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
Wow. Ask of me.
Amen.
I'll give you living water.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
The hour is coming where you won't worship God on this mountain or any other mountain because God is a spirit. And he's seeking people to worship him in spirit and in truth. Wow. What a blessing. What an enlightenment. What an elevation. God is a spirit and you got a spirit in you. And in fact, if you're saved, the spirit of God lives in you. And you're alive with spiritual life. You have eternal life right now. The reason why once saved, always saved is eternal life doesn't end.
Amen.
And you have eternal life already. Oh, your body's going to fall down. And then God's going to raise it up and even give you a better one.
Amen.
I'm looking forward to that better
Amen.
One.
Amen.
Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found and call ye upon him while he's near.
Amen.
If God's near to you today, you can speak to him. You can pray to him. You don't have to say it out loud.
Amen.
You can just say it in your mind. God reads your mind.
Amen.
You can say, Lord, wash me. Lord, forgive me. Lord, you've got loving kindness. God, have mercy upon me. I'm a sinner. I've sinned against you. Forgive me.
Yes.
Wash me. Cleanse me. Justify me. And God Almighty will do it.
Amen.
You right here listening to my voice, if you're not saved, you can call upon the Lord and ask him to save your soul and to change your life and to enter you and give you eternal life and take you home to be with him when you go out of this life.
Yes.
You could do it right now. You ought to do it right now. If you're not saved, get saved.
Amen.
It's the only thing that really matters is eternal life, a spiritual life, the life of God living in you. Jesus will hear you.
Yes, he will.
You don't have to pray out loud. You don't have to stand up. You don't have to make any show of anything. You can call upon him in your mind right now. Lord Jesus, forgive my sin. Save my soul and change my life and turn my life around. May God help you do it. Lord, we thank you for your blessings. We're thankful, Lord, that you don't forget anything except what you decide to put away. We thank you for moving us, our sins as far as from us, the east as the west.
Thank you, Lord.
Buried to be depths in the buried to be buried in the depths of the sea to be remembered against us no more.
Thank you, Lord.
And how you're a God of loving kindness and tender mercies. And you provided this great salvation.
Amen.
Save souls and change lives. And Lord, help us who know you to be sure that our sin will find us out and to stay prayed, forgiven, and in your presence. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.